Harvey 101. When you're lost and lonely in the dark, take a tip from Shelley, Bruce, and Mark. Tune in, turn on Recovery 101. You'll find the boozy news will help you lose the blues.
We don't throw rules at you.
Well, except rule 62.
When you get that urge and feel that need, don't go drinking shots or smoking weed. Tune in, turn on. Insanity can be fun at Recovery 101.
Thank you to Phil and the Harmonics for that marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAFAIR.
Or any of the other alphabet soup of recovery.
None of them, they're guys.
Or
we don't even
anons.
Speak that well for ourselves. We're like a bad political debate right now. But we're not going to do politics, but that's how we sound. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Sweet, dude,
sweet.
Shelly, how was your day? How'd that church go today?
Considering that I was not really able to walk very well because I'm having a surprise crap day, I didn't make it to church.
Surprise crap day.
But the day was not a total loss. I did my my spring leg shaving. I was in the shower for like forever.
Does the water drain in the shower now?
Yeah, I cleaned out the tub.
Were power tools needed?
Is this like Mrs. Bigfoot shaves her legs?
Yes. It was horrible. I just kind of thought, you know.
Chainsaw and a belt sander?
Well, you know, it's been a few months, and if I shave my legs, there'd be more room in the house. So, you know.
If you shave your legs, there will be more room in the house.
Well, I don't. Nobody ever sees.
Yes, Huell Hauser. That's what she said.
Square cubic footage.
You're the only person who ever sees my legs. So it's like, why bother shaving? Because all I have to do is take off your glasses and you won't notice.
Yeah, because I have no sense of touch.
You can't tell because when my leg hair's all grown out, it's all smooth and soft.
And braided.
Yes. Well, it was so long that I was here were my choices. I could either shave for spring, or I could then braid my leg hair, give it sacred names, you know, give it names of power and use it as a tool in my weapon to fight evil.
You could either shave it clean or you could have dreadlocks for summer. Is that it?
Yeah. Well,
can you imagine that? Dreadlocks of leg hair.
Beat it.
Yeah. So the day wasn't totally
a dreadlock thing anyway. That's the most clumpy looking stuff. What are we looking to see what the guard dogs?
Dogs were barking at, yeah.
Someone's going to try and come in and steal our high quality equipment.
Who let the dogs out?
Woof, 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 woof. How was your day?
My day was good. Got up.
That's all. Well, that's better than the alternative of not waking up.
Went to Brandon's for breakfast.
You've been going there a lot lately. They have a great breakfast.
They have a great breakfast.
Where's this place?
They have a few
of them.
There's one in Rancho. There's one in Upland. There's one in Riverside.
Oh.
I go to the one in Rancho.
Yeah,
because I live there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Is this like a brunch kind of thing?
No, it's a nice diner.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, so Debbie and I go there every Sunday and got there today. There was about a 45-minute wait. And
so this in the morning is like, what's the other one that's like up by Upland and it's on Route 66?
Red Hill.
Red Hill Cafe. So it's kind of like that. You go in the morning, you know it's a great place because there are benches outside full of people with newspapers.
Right. And so went and put our name in and I went to go use the restroom and walked by the bar. And there were two people sitting there. One girl there with her husband. I grew up with her. I've known her since I was 14 years old.
Wait. What time is this?
11:30-ish.
And they're already in the bar?
No, the counter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they were sitting and there was an empty seat on either side of them. So I said, don't suppose you guys can scoot down one way or the other. So they did. So we joined them for breakfast and had a great time, caught up on the last 30 years. And
nice.
And went home, watched a little bit of the Masters, watched a couple shows I had DVR'd, went to my sister's, barbecued steaks, had dinner. And
can't
came
go wrong
here.
With that.
Nope.
I had an eventful day. I did. Slept in till like 3. You know, it's weird because if you look, I've got this thing on my Samsung phone that's S Health or something like that. Uh-huh. Check all your health things. If you looked at my sleep thing, it looks like I get a ton of sleep.
Yeah.
Because I slept 10 hours and something last night. But that's because I went to bed at 4:30.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a problem. The funny thing is, you look at my oxygen level, mm-hmm. I have awesome oxygen level. I have a friend that's a respiratory therapist. He's like, dude, like today, it was like 99%. It's like, this is awesome.
Dude, you're so full of hot air. It's just...
yeah. So. But if you do stress level, the other day, it maxed out. Like, you can't score any higher on the stress level.
You got an A+?
And the funny thing is, I didn't feel like I was feeling stressed, but my thing that is constantly high is my heartbeat. It's constantly high. Now, the other day when I was working, I'm doing gardening, I'm doing all this stuff because I'm, you know, it's the spring ritual. The amount that my pulse rate was out after the exercise activity was right on the money. The problem is it doesn't change that much when I'm not exercising.
You don't rest often.
It doesn't look like it doesn't look like I rest at all. It's like 30 points high compared to, I'll be like 121 or something.
And you got our soundboard and our board all straightened out.
We'll see. I keep looking over there to make sure it's recording. But thus far looks good. Well, I ran every possible thing you could do on SpyBot and Norton and all these things and installed all the updates. It looks like that last time we were recording that we had an update that decided to install and it froze everything and just everything locked up.
Yeah.
But when I opened the program, it looked like it was going to be good. It said, would you like to recover the file you were working on?
I'm like,
oh, yes, please.
Not so much.
Nothing.
Got it.
So that was that.
And this is this.
And this is this. You know what that means. Oh, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Hold on, it's going to take me a
minute.
Come
on, Shelly, you can do it.
You are...
2 more steps. 1 more step. You can...
And you know what's amazing?
Fail.
You guys at home, you don't really realize the massive size of our studio, but for Shelly to get over to where the boozy news is...
The news desk?
Well, unfortunately, right now, the giant monitor system and everything with the tri-monitor and the dual-core processor thing she's got at where she normally sits, where that $1,800 microphone is.
Okay. We have shout-outs to Fran, Elizabeth, Randy, Dan, Bill, James, Jane Stryker, Alexandria, Georgette, Jack, Damon, Dakota, Natalie, Carol, John, Joey, Sally, and Howard.
Hey, Jane?
Jane.
Did she talk about addiction?
Hi, Jane.
Did she talk about addiction?
Jane's addiction.
Jane's addiction.
Hey, Howard.
Howard. Hey, Howard. How you doing?
Howard's been commenting.
I know.
Bruce sent this in.
He's a chef. Right? Didn't he say that?
I think Gordon
Blue Chef.
Bruce sent this, well, he didn't send this story in. He came running out dressed in my bathrobe and said, you have to watch this.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Animal psychologist and behaviorist Mark Vett.
Good name.
Yes. Has taught a team of dogs how to fly a plane.
Yes.
Yeah. Hit the autopilot with your nose.
No, they're not. They're actually steering the plane with their little paws.
Like they did figure eights.
Yeah. I was amazed. I'm like, I'm lucky if I can put my shoes on the right feet.
Shock collars are wonderful things.
These are the same dogs that this guy taught to drive.
That's how I got my children to mind.
Yeah.
Well, so at any rate, if you want to see this
it's
video,
all a matter of voltage.
The video is pretty freaking astonishing. You go to dogzen.com, dogzen.com, and watch it.
Or you can just get in the back of the plane and watch.
That's true. I actually found this story last week. I meant to
Why
stick
is the
it in
pilot
there.
Licking his nuts?
Yeah, that's a stewardess's job.
Oh, speaking
what?
Of
what?
Dogs and sex, we have another story on that coming up soon.
Oh.
But not now.
Is it Christine Brinkley again?
Possibly.
The same?
Oh. I'll get to it. Just
oh
wait.
God.
Oh, I'll
God.
Get
We're
to it.
Breathless anticipation.
Oh,
now.
My God.
I
see you shiver with anticipation.
Patient.
Okay. In the greater Sacramento region, I found this story last week. That was kind of scary. The DEA has issued a public safety alert. They issued it not last Friday, but the Friday before. There is a rash of fentanyl-related overdoses happening in the Sacramento area. 9 people died in 1 week, and 36
wow.
people were admitted for overdoses. Basically, what they think is happening, because these are not people that actually have a prescription for fentanyl, which is extremely hard to get unless you're like end-stage cancer.
Double dunking the patches?
Yeah, you know what's... Yeah, fentanyl is highly accessible for cancer patients.
Right, but what they think is happening is that these are actually counterfeit tablets that are being trucked in by dealers. 2 of the people that they had in 2 weeks ago in the hospital on overdoses have agreed to... And they're not saying who they are.
Roll over.
Yes, to assist the authorities because they're trying to track the source. They don't even really want the local dealer. They want the freaking source.
Right. Well, because I was just going to say the local dealer.
Yeah.
You know, someone comes to you and says, here's a bunch of fentanyl. Can you move it for me? The guy's going to say, yeah.
They think the research thus far, they think it's coming up through Mexican drug cartel channels, and that's where it's landed.
Shocking.
Yeah, I'm really shocked.
Wow, I wonder how they get it here.
Because there's no wall.
Oh, yeah. That's going to change.
I guess the reason why this is so shocking to us and not to other parts of the country on the East Coast, this has already been a problem for a while, especially in Maine, Vermont, and New Hampshire. I don't know why those 3 states, but...
Because they touch a border to another country?
Maine doesn't.
Well, it's right there, though.
So they're just to let everybody know, public safety, right? Don't take any street fentanyl. Because it's
this is
adulterated.
A public service announcement from Recovery 101.
It's a good general rule.
Is it, yeah, I was going to say, isn't our kind of general thing that we say is don't take any drugs at all?
Oh, I forgot the other half of the story. Duh, because this was from last week. The other half of the story, because this particular batch of fentanyl is very, very, very strong because it's not vetted by the FDA, wherever it's coming from.
Is that what it is? It's not that it's like...
It's not our pills at all. They're counterfeit.
It's like super strong fentanyl.
Yeah, well, it's counterfeit because it's not...
Super bad.
The other part of the problem, though, is it's not just the 9 people that overdosed and died and the 36 that came in on those pills. They've also had...
357,000...
Where did the number go?
Brain damage?
42 heroin abusers came in. With overdoses from a mixture of that same fentanyl and heroin.
Oh.
So.
And see, now me, I never really did heroin, but it's like, I understand the speedball thing. You know, the go low, go fast, go low, go fast.
Yeah.
I don't get the let's double our low. Yeah. You know, it's like, is heroin just not low enough so you're going to add some fentanyl to it? I don't know. Someone will have to write in the comments and let me know because I get if you want to go really high and then really low, like this kind of back and forth. I don't get the let's double up on the low because you could just, the heroin's already low.
Life is not a limbo stick.
Right?
Shelly, you need help lighting that?
Shelly has rheumatoid arthritis.
And it's been cold and damp.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Well, it never rains in Southern California. It's been raining here like...
For days.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just...
For like just 76 years.
Nicely.
Does this strike you as the... What did they call it? The biblical rains that El Nino was supposed to bring this year? It's like... I know that we did pretty good. That the snowpack
well.
Was great in the Sierras.
Yes.
And
a lot of reservoirs are
loosen
full
up
bursting.
On some of the drought restrictions
right.
they had
right.
in California.
And California's nicely refilling the ocean
yes.
with fresh water. Thank you, Governor Moonbeam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're going to drop the restriction from level 3, which is the highest, down to a level 1, I think. Yeah. So that would be
I don't
good.
Know. And I don't know if other people in other states have this.
What?
And I don't know if I'd call it boozy news or not, but... We have, like, real restrictions on what you can do with rainwater. What the hell? It's like...
Yeah.
It's, like, illegal to collect rainwater. And I'm thinking... So, like,
why?
If I've got rainwater running off the side of my roof or something, I can't use it to, like, eventually, like, hold on to it and water my garden with. I don't get it.
Well, technically, that's the law in California. You can't collect rainwater because the water doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to the state. That's what they
say. It belongs
to
God.
However...
That's right.
My higher power says.
He dropped it on my house so I could use it.
There are actually some places in the country where you pay a tax for the square footage of your roof because the rain that falls on it will take, because people collect it in barrels, will take water away from the public utility.
See, I...
Is that the dumbest thing you ever heard?
Well, I can understand to
a certain...
It's like
the window tax back in the old days.
I can understand to a certain degree that water falling on the ground in different areas help refill aquifers under the ground. But in city-type areas, most of the water runs out into the curb and runs down into a thing that goes down into the wash that goes down to the ocean.
Right.
Right.
Doesn't do anything, so... If I'm saving it off my roof and actually using it to water stuff so I'm not using the water supply, now that's illegal. This
well,
nanny
okay.
state gone crazy? What the?
Technically, that's the law. But most of the cities, especially like Covina did it, Monrovia did it, El Monte did it. I don't know if Glendora did it, but a whole bunch of the cities around here and the state just looked the other way, gave away free rain barrels this year. So that you could collect the water to water your gardens.
Well, because it was going to be biblical.
Yeah, and so the state looked the other way because... Well, you know, you get enough cities that are going to do it.
You can have the collection barrels. You just can't collect water in them.
Yeah. Here, have a barrel. Yeah. Have a barrel of fun.
Fill them with wine.
Barrel of monkeys.
Oh, that's perfect. We can find the second coming of Christ. We'll fill the barrels with wine and have him turn them back to water.
That's it. That's right. Bizarro, bizarro Christ.
Yeah, I got to throw this in. I heard a really funny, this comedian was... I can't remember the guy's name, but he was saying, how would you like to be James, Jesus' brother? You know, there's this big party. They're like, hey, dude, turn this water to wine. And he's like, that's my brother. He goes, you can never be as good as your brother.
That's right.
It's like, dude, we've only got one fish.
Talk about living in the shadows.
Yeah, we've only got one fish.
Okay.
Dude, you're worthless.
Yeah.
We got to move on. Or we're going to run out of time.
We can't run out of time. We have no time limit.
We can run out of time when I say we run out of time.
Ooh,
then we'll just be done.
This is a nanny state gone crazy right in this room.
Raving Nana. Chesney, South Carolina. The county sheriff, Steve Mueller, arrested... what in the heck is her name now? I can't find it. Hannah Marie Haynes.
Three names.
Yeah.
She was charged with buggery.
Buggery,
which is not a charge that has been seen in South Carolina for quite a while.
It sounds like something that would happen in Yorkshire.
Well, that's the official charge in that area.
What did she bugger with?
Oh.
This is not the story.
Oh.
But this is, so we actually have two dog stories. She was arrested and released on a $5,000 bond. Yes, she was emailing people videos of herself having sex with adoption, which I'm not really sure how you do that because adoptions are a little... tiny dogs, but okay. Silence.
I'm thinking a really hung dachshund is still going to be tiny. I don't know.
I just thought the story was interesting because she was charged with buggery. Didn't even know we still had a charge like that.
To be honest with you, hearing the charge buggery did not make me think of someone doing a dog.
Me either.
It sounds like someone who's annoying or something.
Well, the actual...
Which, you know, if you're going to send me videos of you bugging your Dachshund, I think is annoying, but...
Last I knew, buggery involved insertion.
It does. Well, technically, the old-fashioned term of buggery is anal sex, which sodomy, which is illegal in some areas. So, yeah. But I'm not sure why they still have buggery on the books as the charge. Maybe it only relates to having sex with dogs? I don't know.
I don't know that I want to know, to be honest with you. I'm not completely sure I even care.
All right, well.
But it's good for the news.
Yeah. I could scroll down. We could do both of the
Isn't
dog
stories. Isn't it great, Bruce,
when
you get to
once.
Learn stuff from the news?
Oh, tell you.
Don't you feel better
I
now?
I mean, at the beginning of the news, we've got dogs flying planes. And at the end of the news, what do we have, Shelly?
Dogs having sex. And I'm looking for the other...
The other dog sex.
Okay, now, oh. Fran sent it.
Welcome to Animal Planet.
Thank you, Wait, Fran.
Welcome to Animal Planet.
Animal Planet. Stories you never wanted to know.
Fran freaking tastic.
Okay, in Miami...
Florida!
Thank you.
Oh, well, Fran sent it. Of course it's Florida.
Yeah. Armin...
How does somebody from Tennessee find so much stuff for Florida?
Okay, now, I don't know if we actually remember this from the original story. The guy's name... was Armin Packer.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
So it is Christine Brinkley?
Yes, it is. It's an update to the Christine Brinkley story.
Oh, my
story.
God. Thank you, Fran.
There
I don't even care
update.
What it is.
65 years old. He's from Aventura, but the story takes place in Miami. I guess that's where the court is. Now, he was charged with animal abuse. When they actually... We didn't know this in the original story. When they actually... the veterinarian... examined Christine Brinkley.
Yep.
She had human sperm in her urine. I don't know how that could possibly happen.
It's the wrong hole?
I don't know, but... So this veterinarian, he's a well-known forensic veterinarian. He was the state witness against Mr. Armin Packer in the case of him having
Stipping
sex with
his dog.
Christine Brinkley.
Christine Brinkley.
His Great Dane.
However, the defense lawyer ripped him apart.
Oh. Wait, now remind everyone, because many people are not going to know the original story.
Okay, the original story was Armin Packer had called his dog's vet. His dog is a Great Dane named Christine Brinkley.
Cracks me up.
And said
Uptown
that...
Uptown girl.
That he was worried about his dog's health because she seemed down and sad and that... And I'm quoting him here. The quote is actually in the story. She doesn't seem to enjoy it as much when we have sex. Maybe it's because I have not been as energetic lately and that is why she is not as enjoying it as much. And the vet was quite surprised by this.
What?
Because dogs usually like sex all the time.
Oh. So,
yeah, my dog digs it all.
That's not why he was concerned, huh?
So the veterinarian alerted the authorities and the criminal investigation began. He was arrested on charges of animal abuse because up until just before this story, remember, Florida actually passed a law that made it illegal to have sex with animals because before this, you could. It was not against the law in Florida.
Well, my guess is they just never really... thought that you needed to make a law like that because yeah. they probably didn't think it was happening very often.
Well, yeah.
It's not like it's
Scotland.
Brazil.
Right.
Scotland?
Hell, Scotland.
No, that's not true.
Scotland.
Well, you would know, Bruce.
No, this comes back from a guy we used to have on the show named Lee.
Yes.
And Lee, I'm not so sure.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
He might have.
So anyway, he was facing up to 5 years in prison for this. The case was thrown out of court because the defense attorney managed to rip the state's witnesses apart on the stand, claiming that the samples that they took from the dog were too small to be significant. And the jury bought it, I guess. And the case got thrown out.
The guy admitted to it.
Yeah.
He claims that when he told the vet that, he was only joking.
That's what I would claim too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And the dog has been strangely silent. However, he is no longer in possession of the dog.
Oh,
the dog
they broke
was adopted
them up.
Out. Yes, the dog was adopted out to another family. Presumably is not having sex with
and
it.
And the dog's really happy now with his new owner that's only 35 years old.
Yeah.
So that is the update on the
Sloppy
Christine
seconds.
Brinkley
wow.
story. Yeah.
I can't, you know what? And this goes to show you what happens when your jury pool is full of people that have time to be on jury.
I know.
Yeah.
They're however, like, I can't you know be what? On jury because I'll miss The View.
You know what? I think the reason this story that it went to trial and everything went on was because Recovery 101 kept this in the news.
You know what? And he even said that the internet fame has ruined his life. He's like, yeah, okay, I was acquitted, but he wasn't really acquitted.
I think
but
banging your dog ruined your life. But,
I know.
Okay.
But he's blaming us,
yes.
Basically.
Do you know, that story was so good that we once did, actually we had two shows that were the best of the boozy news.
Yeah.
They got like the most votes
of
any story.
It was on both of them.
Yes.
Yeah. This story might make the news in many different places, and I'm giving you ample leg crossing time.
My leg's already crossed.
St. Louis
after the dog sex story.
This is our last story for the night. St. Louis, Missouri.
Missouri.
Christina Palmer Anderson.
Three names. That's usually dope involved with
one
three
blade.
Names.
Three
I
names,
mean,
one
we
blade.
Always say three names, but people that aren't familiar with it, it always seems
like
it's drug related.
All three
stuff.
Of their names are listed.
It's never alcoholics. It's always drug addicts.
Oh, no, occasionally it's an alcoholic. Mm. And in this case, I think it. No, no. In this case, it was definitely drugs. Okay, 43-year-old. She's 43 years old. And if you go online and you actually look for like keywords and find this story, and you see the picture of this woman, you will not be at all surprised that her husband cheated on her. She looks like a Greek harpy of legend. I mean, it was. Oh. I brought the story up and I went, "Whoa, hello," because she looks really, really scary.
Oh,
she
might have been just a bad photo.
She admitted to planning the crime of removing her husband's genitals.
Well, that's scary in itself.
She planned it after she surprised her husband when she came home while he was performing oral sex on their meth dealer.
Hey, 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
That made her very angry. That made her very angry. So she spent a week using an iron file to sharpen her teeth.
Oh. Did she give him a Hummer? Although most people don't know what that is anymore.
While he was asleep, she tied his hands and feet to the bed.
He thought, okay, baby.
While he's half
go.
Awake thinking, oh, this is going to be great. And then when he was primed and ready to go, she bit it off with her newly sharpened teeth, which is why I'm thinking she looks like a Greek harpy. I mean, it's really a scary picture.
She sharpened her teeth.
Yeah. He was, before he bled to death, because, you know, there's a lot of blood in that area during that time, he managed to untie himself and hit 911 on the phone before he passed out. And then
I
want to
hear the call.
When the paramedics arrived, she was sitting. He was naked and unconscious and bleeding out. She was calmly sitting on the couch, smoking meth out of a pipe, watching TV, and her face and clothes were covered in blood.
Wow. That must have been quite the sight to see when you walk in.
Yeah, the paramedics walk in, and she screamed, "I bit his dick off!" over and over again.
Now, I don't want to get too ahead of it here.
Yeah.
But, pardon the pun. Pardon the pun. Is he going to do a John Wayne Bobbitt? Is he going to get someone back on?
No.
He's
can't
dead.
Too much. No, he's alive.
Oh.
He survived. They managed to keep him alive, but there was too much damage done to his genitals. The damage is permanent, but he may be able to have reconstructive surgery.
Oh.
Yeah, see, because guys, they go, reconstructive surgery, can you make me huge?
They can make you whatever you want. What about the one guy who had the 8-inch dick put on for the porn star?
That's true.
Yeah.
And then he was in a car crash, and they had to put it off.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So.
What are you plug in the cord?
No.
And on that rather disgusting note, that is the end of the boozy news.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress too. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
You okay there?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just telling Mark on the break, we were been having some knee problems lately, and we were out at dinner the other day, and I went to straighten my knee, and it made this pop. And Shelly goes, "Was that your knee?" And I said, "Yeah, because it was like under the table. I mean, it wasn't like a little pop. It was a loud pop."
And we're in the middle of a restaurant, and I heard that it sounded like somebody popping a balloon.
Yeah.
You might want to get that looked at.
Yeah. Well, it's like I told someone recently, I've been having hearing trouble, which for sure, when I looked it up, it's almost for sure, because I knew when I was younger and I used to sing in a band, I had partial hearing loss back then because I'm up on a stage with amplifiers like all around me and it's very, very loud. And this thing said it's a result of loud music and you know, and for years I tend to play my music fairly loud in the truck.
Yep.
But you got to remember, I also now have like whatever it said I had like 35% hearing loss, which means it's 35% lower to me. So when you think it's too loud to me, it doesn't sound that loud.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have me with my super spidey hearing a couple of days a month where I get that echo reverb thing and I can hear the birds are too friggin' loud. I breathe too loud. I chew too loud.
You know what? The Shelley birds, I remember when the birds were too loud.
Yeah.
5:45 in the morning on the third day you've been awake.
It's like shut up, Jesus! Shut up, you guys are gonna bring the cops.
Shh.
Yeah, between Mr. I'm deaf over here and me with my it's too loud. I mean, we cannot.
I'm bloody deaf.
It's horrible getting into the car. He wants to turn the radio on. I'm turning it down. He's turning it up. I'm turning it down.
Chateau deaf.
He's gonna have to get a hearing aid, and I'm gonna have to get earplugs.
Well, first of all, I have to throw this out, that like in my truck, it'll go up to like whatever the number is, like 64 or something. At 20, Shelly's like, it's way too loud. And I'm thinking, you are not the rock and roller you claim to be.
That's right.
Look, my hearing improved as I got older.
34 is a good number.
34 is like the Memorex guy getting blown back in his chair.
No. 64 is like that. And I've been known to do that. Like, if I've got the windows open and I'm driving down the highway, you know, there's a lot of noise coming in the way. I need some volume on my Guns N' Roses or Crew or...
You can't sing along to anything under 30, first of all.
Right?
Why? Yeah. Because people hear you and not the music?
Exactly.
No, look. If I'm driving to Vegas and a good driving song comes on and, like, as an example, like those stadium rockers from back in the 70s and 80s, like REO Speedwagon, Roll with the Changes. There's got to be some volume with that.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you got to keep on rolling.
That's not even a very good song.
Blasphemy! Blasphemy!
We get struck by lightning.
Oh, my God.
I'm off the island. Mark is voting me off the island now.
Get out of the studio.
There are some songs that I will turn it up. I mean, you automatically... If Sweet Home Alabama comes on, you have to turn it up because they tell you to at the beginning of the song. If Bohemian Rhapsody comes on, you got to turn that up. Hot for Teacher, got to turn that up.
I was going to say, any Van Halen. Running with the Devil, you got to turn it up.
But most of the time, I'm like, okay, we can turn that off now.
right. Have you ever listened to Living on a Prayer at like 9 or 10?
I don't like Living on a Prayer.
It's like this. It's like this. Living on a Prayer.
I don't listen to Living on a Prayer, so that would explain that.
Yeah, that at 9.
Gotta
yeah.
crank that up.
Oh, you know what is really good, really loud? Right. The last 2 minutes and 49 seconds of the 1812 Overture by the Prague Symphony Orchestra with cannons. Okay. That
yes.
is... It's, that has to be turned up because you know and the Russians are now, conquering the world. You got to turn it up.
Pavarotti doing Ave Maria, you can crank that.
Yeah,
up,
that's
baby.
A good one too.
Okay, okay, not to be on a completely different tack, but
oh, Bolero.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, dun dun dun! When that comes on at the very end, when it's it hits its peak, that's good. Dun,
wait, dun, yeah, dun. When the orgasm's supposed to be is that
yeah
it?
At the peak at the crescendo.
Basically, yeah, the crescendo.
At the crescendo.
I don't want to go out on a limb here because suddenly we've gotten all classical here. But what song is it you want to hear?
Not Freebird.
Yeah.
Hell not Freebird. Yeah. I hate Freebird. Yeah. I hate Freebird.
Any of those guitar anthems. Freebird, Green Grass and High Tides. Green Grass and High Tides.
I'm just not an anthem kind of person because the rock anthems, I'm like, oh, good Lord, this should have been over 5 minutes ago.
Shall I throw in one from my favorite band? Don't Stop Believin'. Come on now. It's the most downloaded song in history.
I know, but you know what? The Clintons pretty much ruined that song for me.
How about Proud to Be an American?
It's okay.
Smoke on the Water.
That's a good song.
There's a bunch. No.
Hey. Well, that's a good song.
Hey, you know what? And a lot of people don't even know this song. Sweet Child in Time.
Yeah,
I don't like that one.
I'm okay with that.
By Deep Purple?
No, it's
not
got
one of my it's
favorites.
An excuse for like an 11-minute guitar solo from Ritchie Blackmore.
Yeah.
Ritchie Blackmore was on a show one time and Jimi Hendrix was on it. It was Alan Ladd years and years ago. And yep. Alan Ladd is interviewing Jimi Hendrix mm-hmm. first because Hendrix is like the main guy. Mm-hmm. And they're talking to him and they're like, "So people have said you're the greatest guitar player in the world." And Jimi Hendrix is like, "Yeah, you know, I'm okay. You know, I like to jam." And they're like, "What do you think of this newcomer, you know, Ritchie Blackmore?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, he's good. He jams." And then they bring Ritchie Blackmore on, and they're like, "So people have said you're a really good guitarist." He goes, "Oh, I'm the best there is. There's nobody better than me." And everyone's like, "Ooh." And about like a week later, he got kicked out of Deep Purple.
Yep, hello. In case anybody was wondering, our topic tonight was music.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, are we...
Music in recovery.
I think we, you know, maybe we're off topic, but... I thought we were a recovery show.
We hadn't given
show.
The topic yet,
well,
so
actually,
how could we
but
be
But actually,
off
it's
topic?
Kind of about the topic, because, you know, we're talking about stuff we do as friends and
trudging
hang
buddies.
Out. And, yeah, trudging buddies.
Well, that was a really long segue.
Who are you
then?
Hanging with?
Well, you got trudging buddies and Eskimos.
Yep.
You know.
Somebody re-explained the Eskimo thing to me, because people always say, so-and-so, oh, that guy's my Eskimo. I'm like... Wait a minute. In the book, the Eskimo is the guy that brings
the
you
bottle.
The booze and makes you go out.
I always wondered that
I
as
don't
well.
Get that.
Because Eskimo is definitely the term that gets used a lot. But the only reference I've ever heard in program is where they talk about, you know, the guy who's trying to get sober on the Greenland ice cap. And an I didn't know there was Eskimos in Greenland, but apparently.
There you go.
I still don't think there's Eskimos in Greenland, but okay.
I prefer not to say call it an Eskimo. I prefer to refer to the person that served that function in my life as my albatross.
My Saint Bernard.
Well, actually, he
who
didn't,
also brings you booze.
Yeah.
My albatross did not bring me the booze, and he is one of my trudging buddies, but he, you know, total godshot, showed up at my house both times that I was all set to relapse and interrupted me. So...
And actually, speaking of trudging buddies, we're about to trudge off with that buddy.
With that same buddy to go to Yosemite.
Yeah, he calls us. He says, "Hey." And, you know, this kind of shit never happened back in the day for me, at least for me. He calls up. He says, "Hey, my new wife and I want to take you guys to Bass Lake and stay at the nice resort there.
It's nice.
And then we're going to go to Yosemite." And I'm like immediately calculating in my head how much this is going to cost. He goes, "We're going to pay for everything." I said, "Really?
Well, we have to buy our own food, I'm sure."
He said, "No."
Well,
okay, so you go to the Forks for chicken fried steak and eggs.
Where's this at?
It's called the Forks in Bass Lake.
Okay. I will try and remember that. Yes. So, Mark, give us an example of a good trudging
buddy. I brought the subject up because we were talking about people who recently are now getting back reacquainted with people they've met in the program and going out and drinking and getting loaded. And we see it so much in the program. And I think about who are the people that I hang with in the program?
The people with time.
People with time. People that have been there. I've got a birthday coming up.
That you do. Coming up on and, 31 years.
And I asked a... He's old. I asked a girl who was really a trudging buddy of mine when I got here to come speak and give me my cake at your meeting.
Yes.
For 31 years. She was there when I walked in. And it was part of a group of us that just really hung together.
Now, she's still sober from then?
Yeah. She went back out for about a month, so she's got less time than I do, but she was the one, though. She
but
was
not that far
she
off.
She was my wake-up call. She was the first person that I really knew and cared about and was friends with in the program who went out.
Mm.
Scared the you-know-what out of me. Because I thought if she could go, this could happen to anybody.
I think that happens a lot more than people think because... When I first came in the program, I really took what people said, like, hang with people in the program. Mm-hmm. Don't go back to your old playgrounds and play mm-hmm. things. Hang with people in the program. So I had gotten rid of all of my friends. When I was at Impact House, they took my phone book, which was, you know, this is before cell phones.
Yeah.
I had one of those, and it was a phone book that, like, folded in on itself.
One of those accordion ones, huh?
They took it, and they threw it away. And I said, what are you doing? They said, that's got all your dealer's numbers and everything, and we're going to throw it away. And I said, oh, wow. But that forced me to get all these friends in recovery. So as I got really in touch with people around the program, as normally what happens in the program, I started watching them fall off the side and see horrible things happen, and some of them overdose and everything. And I'm like, oh, shit, yeah. I don't want to be like that. I got to redouble my efforts to stay.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the marathon Friday night. And a group of us in between meetings.
A ton of you guys with time.
Walked outside and I looked around and I'm like, okay, there's 12 of us standing out here together. I'm counting 300 years.
Yeah.
You know, everybody had 25, 28, 30, 31, 32. I mean, just, you know.
But then that's, a ton of time. That's who you hang with.
Yeah, and that's who I hang with.
Shelley?
What?
Trudging buddies. You've had some trudging buddies. When...
Yeah, but...
Rhonda?
Most of my trudging buddies, it's not that they've all gone out. I mean, like, Rhonda is still around, and I hang out with her once in a while. We used to hang out more than we do now, because both of us have other things that we're doing, and...
Ah, but they've invited us to do things yes, recently that we were unable to do, unfortunately.
To go and But right now, I think when I'm thinking about this, she and my sponsor are really the only ones from the beginning that I hang that I would hang out with or that I can hang out with. My sponsees will hang around for a while. We'll get up to step 9. They'll start doing amends and they leave. And this has happened enough times that I'm like, wow, I really need to take a break from sponsoring because I'm getting sick of this. You know, be of service in other ways because I can't keep doing this and feeling like I'm making a difference.
Why?
Or I'm helping somebody.
Shelley, you are. You're helping yourself.
You.
I know. But I can help myself by being of service in other ways.
I have sponsored every single person successfully.
Yeah,
because
you're still sober
through all of those idiots.
But when you're talking about trudging buddies and Mark brings up an excellent point, the people that Mark hangs out with are currently the people that, to me, that are the most attractive. I really want to start going to meetings out at the
667.
The 667 club. I would like to start going to those
meetings. By the way, to anyone that doesn't know, because we have a lot of listeners in Southern California, there is, I wouldn't call it a club per se. It's not going to be like what you would imagine right. most Alano clubs to
no.
be, where it's kind of a big facility
no.
and all this stuff.
It's a club.
The 667 is a CA club. And you know the way CA is, we don't care what you used to do, just stop doing it. But that they've got a lot of meetings there. They're not that far from here. They're in Pomona, California at 667 yeah. Holt. They're in front of a recovery home that if you are a sober living home, that if you need a sober living home and you're a male, that's called the Brick House. We'll give a shout out to our friend Marty there. And I've been to a bunch of meetings there. It's a it,
It's the group I came in with. That's where I got clean and sober.
Well,
not that club, but that group.
Right,
that area.
I didn't mean to cough right into my mic. And continuing on my line of thought there, the last 6-7 Thursdays that some of the members of that group have come out, and every time that on the few occasions that we've gone out to one of their events, those are the people that have what I want. You know, they're all, even when things are going crappy, they find something to be upbeat about. There's, you know, and they talk mainly about the solution and less about the crap.
Yep.
And every time in the last few months that we've gone over to the AA club where we go to our other meetings, I leave there feeling tainted. And it's horrible. And I shouldn't say that because I love that place. I grew up there. I was a teenager there going to Alateen meetings down at the 502. But there is something, there is a cancer there. There's something wrong.
Well, it's funny because when we announce the Wednesday night meeting at 667, when we go to other meetings and announce it, we announce it as Wednesday nights, 7 to 9, 2-hour candlelight crosstalk meeting. If you're going to come for the first time, please lie. Because we love nothing more than having somebody new come in that we just get to beat the crap out of, you know?
Well, and the other thing is that if I do make the effort and I start going out to those meetings, I get to be the newcomer.
Yeah.
Because I've got 9 years, but most of the people out there that I've met
have
way more time than that.
Your sponsor has a sponsee that spoke at our Thursday meeting.
Yes.
And she started coming there. And you talk
She asked me about how to get there.
You talk about somebody who just fits into the fold so well.
Yeah.
I mean, I just look at her and I go, how did you make it through 4 years of going to AA meetings with the drug story that you have?
Yeah, exactly.
How did you not get to tell that?
I know. Well, and the thing is, though, that I love AA, but if I went to AA meetings in other areas, it would probably be different. There's something fundamentally that has shifted.
Well, you know what they always say?
In this area.
If the drinks get bad at the bar you're going to,
go to a different bar. I know that. And I hate to be one of those people that abandons a group or a situation or whatever, but every time I walk through the gauntlet down there, and I just, those are not my trudging buddies. Those are not, they do not have what I want. There's just so much drama and gossip and backbiting and people have fallen out left and right. And it doesn't do my recovery any good to be down there. And if I don't nurture my own recovery, I'm not ever going to be able to help anybody else.
Mark and I
need to distance myself from that.
Mark and I have been trudging buddies.
Yeah.
We've gone a variety pack of places. We've been to a couple conventions and stuff.
We just hang.
The Recovery 101 convention, the San Diego convention, the one convention that
I almost got to.
But I don't remember seeing you
there. The next year, I almost got there. I was just a few miles away.
And then... you know, we've done the speaking thing a bunch of times. Mark and I went to a panel.
Yes.
At a marathon.
Yeah.
But we were supposed to take a panel of like, we had like 5 or 6 people that were going because
there were 7 of us. We had the prime time.
And
midnight,
it was like a 3-hour slot.
Midnight to 2:15. We had 2 hours and 15 minutes.
So we go there. One guy shows. Who wasn't going to speak at all because he was really new, and it was our friend Mark P.
Yeah.
And he actually, of all the people that were supposed to show, he actually showed up.
Right.
And so we're there. We have an hour and five minutes each.
Yeah.
We go over.
Yeah.
You know.
And I went 55 minutes. I left you time. Mr. On and On.
I always love it when... You go speak somewhere where you've never spoken before, and the guy looks at you and he says, okay, you're going to have a full 45 minutes. You think you can fill that up? And I'm like, dude, I could fill up an hour and 45 minutes.
I'll cut some stuff out.
Yeah. Let me.
Ooh, 45 minutes.
Let me shave it down. We've also, Silmar.
Yep.
Went out and spoke at the oldest AA meeting in California or something. Went out there and spoke. What was the other one out there? Hole in the Wall. Did you go on that one?
I don't know if I went to that one or not, but you and I have hit a lot of them. And
we have a tendency.
We used to go to the Milk and Cookies meeting occasionally together.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring that up because Shelley had brought up when she likes to go to a meeting, she's the newcomer. There is something, I don't want to say it's unsettling because I don't mind having the most time in the room because that means I'm still here.
Right.
But sometimes when you go to the same meetings and the same meetings and the same meetings
and the
same
meetings, you always have the most time
and you're
in the
like
room.
The most time, because most people go in and they're looking for someone with more time than them that they can cull some pearls of wisdom from. And it gets a little disconcerting when they're looking at me like I'm the guy that's going to give them the pearls of wisdom. And I'm like, you don't know who I am, do you?
You're Peter Ustinov in Logan's Run.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, yep. people are scrolling back for that one.
Yeah, they're all going to Wikipedia and typing in Logan's Run.
Ooh, good thing there's no Logan's Run in the program. You get 30 years and you
die
off you.
And by the way, yes, the movie was good for its time, but you should read the books. William Nolan.
Yep.
Excellent.
So, anyway, you were saying.
Well,
Milk and cookies.
Milk and cookies. When I went to the milk and cookies meeting, I was like really happy because besides two other guys, I had the least time in the room, and I had like 21 years or something, and I had like the least time besides our friend Lee, who had like 17, and some guy who had like 5 minutes.
And there were cookies.
Well, you know what? These guys are smart.
We're old. We're not smart. Well, we're old.
And we've all been to the meetings where they have the, for want of it, like the Kroger's double sandwich cookies. It's like $1.99 for a pack of 700 cookies. You go out there, it's like all Pepperidge Farm, or there's that bakery that they buy cookies
Frederico's
from.
Bakery and the whole thing.
Yeah, they have cookies.
And we
cookies.
Do and we do milk because we're too old to drink coffee at night.
And real milk.
Yeah.
Like vitamin D, regular fatty milk, which is always good. And so that, you know, that's good. And then and I've done other trudging things. Like I've gone fishing with guys. Our friend Mark, who's been on the show before, our house guest at the moment. You know, we went and went fishing together. I can't remember who I went fishing with. With Terry, our good friend, my good friend Terry. We went down, we went fishing for yellowtail just this last year. Oh, my God. It was like one of the greatest fishing trips I've ever been on. We're like there, and like the first 10 minutes we're there, Terry and I both had like three or four yellowtail, like in the first 10 minutes. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he brought home all this great yellowtail, and then I managed to give it freezer burn.
And we went with another guy. We went with another guy from the program. Well, I'm not sure he's still in the program, but this guy Dean, cool guy, he was this rocker guy back in the 80s when I first came around. He was in this band called Danger, and they were like this hair metal band, and he's still a rocker. And I mean, it was a really really cool deal.
But you know, we pick the people to hang out with. Like, I don't hang out with any of my sponsees.
I do, but I have some sponsees with some time now.
But you have sponsees who come by to see you at work mostly. I don't know how much you hang out with them.
Well, I see most of my sponsees I will see. Like, I have sponsee William.
Yeah.
I see him every Tuesday. I see him every Thursday. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he goes to coffee. I mean, I see him. And I talk to him on the phone and through text and Facebook a lot.
Yeah.
But he has, you know, he's got like 4 years. Yeah. So, I mean, he's not new anymore. I've got... One time we went on a fishing trip where we took a grip of people. Unfortunately, my friend Roger and I think ended up footing. We chartered a boat, and everyone was supposed to put in like $80 or something. And somehow Roger and I put in like $250 each.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how that happened.
You had the most time in the room.
Exactly. Well, actually, we did.
Yes.
Roger and I did.
That's exactly how that happened.
Yeah, that's true. But that was a blast. We had a great time doing that. We took a bunch of people from the program, went on a fish trip out of San Diego. Our friend Fausto, who's like the consummate fisherman, caught the only yellowtail.
Of course.
We must have caught 100 bass. I mean, there was a ton of bass. But
You know, I was thinking about, though, when I first came in, like I said, I've got, you know, this one girl who's coming to speak at the meeting, and... But there was a group of us where I didn't join up for the whole day because I had a job. But they'd go to the 6:30 meeting. They'd go to breakfast. They'd
go to the
hang out and have coffee. They'd go to the noon meeting. They'd go play basketball or just hang out.
Oh, yeah, because you're a basketball player.
Yeah, they'd have dinner. They'd go to the 7:30 meeting. And then we'd end up at Denny's, Coco's, Caro's, whatever coffee shop was close by, and drink coffee till 1 o'clock in the morning, go home, get a few hours sleep.
Get up and do it all
over. And
they'd
go to the 6:30. Yeah, you know, and it's like two people had cars, so they picked up everybody. And, you know, and that's just what we did. And we just, wherever it was, there was always some part of that group together.
Yeah, so I think the lesson here is stick with the winners.
Yeah.
So,
well, maybe that's part of my problem with needing new trudging buddies, because when I came in, when you guys came in, you were in this whole group and you all got sober together. When I came in, all of my friends were people that had multiple years, which may have contributed to my sobriety.
Yeah.
But now a lot of them have moved to other areas. Most of them haven't gone out. They've just moved on to doing other things. So I'm not hanging out with them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, because it was really funny, because the group of us, the 8 or 10 of us I'm thinking about, there was no 13th Steppin'. There was no boy meets girl on AA campus. There was none of that. It was literally just we all knew we were dying, and we were hanging on to each other for dear life.
Yeah. Well, and I think in a way, I think that you're really fortunate in that, because I'll tell you what, the group, my original group, which was from Las Encinas, my original time when I came in, there's like maybe one or two of those people that are still around. And one guy named Kelly Cool, I've seen him a few times over the years. Mm-hmm. But like when I lived at the Alano Club on the roof, there wasn't, like, the group, I don't have that same kind of group where there's one guy that I have that has almost the same time as me, and that's my buddy James. Mm-hmm. And I actually picked him up off his lawn when he was 17.
So you need somebody to trudge with.
The guy's still sober.
Yeah.
But besides him, of the people that I used to hang out with, from early on, none of them guys are around.
Yeah, I mean, and I had, you know, Michael, who comes to the Thursday night meeting pretty regularly now.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
He was there when I got there. Reggie.
Clint
came in a few years after I did.
Okay.
3 years after I did. My sister came in about 3 years after I did.
Yeah.
Big Dave, you know, a lot of people that I hung with. And then there are people who've passed on that were really part of the group. And I just thought it was so important, because my sponsor always harped on me about that. Hang out with people in the program that you see working the program.
Right. Well, we have a phone list at the Thursday night meeting, which is kind of scary when you look at it, because for a while I was keeping track of what happened to people on this phone list. And you have like, went out, then that scratched out, got sober, went out, got sober.
Yeah.
And there is like 6 or 7 names of people on this phone list that are all dead.
Yeah.
Now.
And several that are in jail, and some that went out, we never saw them again.
Yeah. Then,
I mean,
then
four
you've
of
got,
us that don't have anything written next
well,
to
then you look. Then you look at the list, and there's a bunch of names that have no notations after them, which means they're still around.
Yep.
You know? And it kind of comforting to see that, and discomforting at the same time to see all the people that went out. So, Shelley, what is your final words on trudging buddies?
Get some. Because the people that you come in with, that you hang around with, are the people that you look to for your emotional support as your recovery grows. You need to hang on to them. They will be your lifeline.
Outstanding. Mark.
Head to the road of happy destiny, not the highway to hell.
Oh. You know what? I'm going to use something that I used earlier in the show, which is stick with the winners. You know what?
Or win with the stickers.
Okay.
Which beats the crap out of if you like what you're getting.
Yeah, which is usually his go-to.
Well, with the people you hang out with, if you like with who you're hanging with,
keep hanging.
If you don't like who you're hanging with, hang with someone different. Yeah. Shelley, we have friends back east and in the Inland Empire.
If you go to 12stepgazette.com and 12stepgazette.com/IE, you can read the online publications of these newsletters. And you can probably inquire about franchise opportunities, although I'm not sure to whom you would send your inquiry. Just poke around and find out.
We should probably check on that.
Yeah, we should at some point. Or we? How about you?
Well, we know that one person, as a result of this show, contacted him. That's how we have the Inland Empire of that.
Well, actually, she said that she saw it somewhere else first. Before
oh, really?
She heard about it from us. Something like that.
Oh, F her then.
No, no, you should go and read them and do all that stuff. Yep. Yeah.
Mark?
Yes?
People listen to this show.
We appreciate that.
We do.
And however you listen, thank you very much. We do ask that you go to our site at recovery101.net and click on a show. When you do that, if you're already a member of Podomatic, things come up. You can like the show and all those things. If you're not yet a member of Podomatic, you will be invited to join. Please do. It's free.
And fun.
And you can, at that point, once you are a member of Podomatic, you can like shows. You can follow Recovery 101.
Follow every single time
you
go.
Every single time you go, if you'd like. And you'll get emails when a new show goes up. And you can add us to playlists, and you can leave topic suggestions in your comments, which would be awesome if you would be so kind as to do so.
We really should encourage our secret group of the Recovery 101 radio show fan, or no, the radio show page, to actually go to. The only person I consistently see leave comments and stuff is Bill. You know, long time.
Well, it's no longer a secret than that Bill's a member of the secret group.
Long time friend of the show, and actually been a trudging buddy with him as well. Been to some 12-step music fests with him. Mm-hmm. He's come down. I've gone up there, and he's not local. I mean, and this is the idea of a trudging buddy too. I've gone up.
He's four and a half hours away.
Gone up to Fresno to see him. He went to the convention in Vegas and everything. Anyway, anybody that's part of that group should be becoming members of Podomatic and leaving us some stuff there, because a lot of them like and comment, on that page. So if you are Facebook friendly, it's easy to join Podomatic because it will have the choice log in with Facebook. And if you are currently logged in with Facebook, when you do it, it will just boom, you're suddenly a member. They're not going to spam you. They will only send you a single email every time a show you follow puts up a new show. Now, if you follow like 500 shows, you're going to get 500 emails. I'm just letting you know about that. But most people don't do that. You'll just get a notification that a new show is up. If you are Facebook friendly and you want to be more anonymous on Facebook, you can join the secret group, of course, you won't be able to find. You won't be able to find that group.
So good luck joining it.
But if you like the Recovery 101 radio show fan page, which is easy to find, you can send me a message there. You can send a message to Bruce Burnett or Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper, and we will all add you to the group. You have to be a friend of ours to get added, but we can work that out. And that's cool because
for 20
you can
bucks, I could be anybody's friend.
Yeah, you can do recovery without anybody being any the wiser. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send topic suggestions. You can send music. If you are a recovering artist, a music artist, whether you're with a group or on your own or whatever, send us some MP3s, a photo you would like linked to somewhere that you indicate where you want it linked to, whether it's a YouTube page or a Facebook page or SoundCloud or something like that. Please send us the music in an MP3 format because sometimes we get links to places where you cannot just grab the music.
And then it takes me forever to figure it out, or I have to get somebody else to do
it. It takes us forever to figure it out. But if you do that, we will be more than happy to help you promote your stuff.
It will get played.
It will get played. You will hear one at the end of the show. We also have videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell do not. Shelley?
Yes?
Who is that person that sent us some MP3s this week? Or any week?
Any week. Oh, Jim Alkers?
Sure.
All right.
Is that who the lead out music is?
Sure, why not?
Jam. I love that.
Jam.
everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Liars and beggars and bums and thieves, come gather round for your daily reprieve. All of us here are soaked in sin. Brothers and sisters, I call you my kin. We sang with the band as we shipped out to sea. We toasted the captain while sunk to our knees. We made it to shore by the skins of our necks. Share the scars we received from the wreck. Fathers repeated, the restless, the discontent and disheveled, the young heretics and the rousers of rebels. Now sing with me. Proud fight until my dying breath. Fight until my dying breath. See, I'll fight this proud fight until my dying breath.